This is the KNX Noon Hour News. 60 minutes of coverage, the West's most complete midday report. Prepared by the KNX News Bureau, the largest and most honored news team in Western America. The Noon Hour News, with the worldwide facilities of Associated Press and United Press International, CBS correspondents at home and abroad, and KNX reporters on the Southland scene. Russ Powell here. Bob Arthur is on vacation. With the top headlines at noon, Lloyd Perrin.
Czechs and Russians agree to talk. U.S. base near Da Nang rocked by heavy explosions. President Van Tu says Honolulu decision was to take the initiative in the war. North Vietnam says Honolulu proves the U.S. plans more aggression. Cambodia's ruler demands 12 bulldozers for 12 American soldiers captured. James Earl Ray arraigned in Memphis. George Herman will report. Adam Clayton Powell says he doesn't think Ray killed Dr. King. Kennedy clan gathers to plan Senator Ted Kennedy's political moves. And Louisiana governor says Wallace now can throw election into House of Representatives.
The big news is out from the quality kitchens of the Real McCoy. Now, for the first time, Real McCoy introduces all beef sausage links. Healthier sausages that are easier to cook, with less waste and shrinkage, and less greasy mess. All beef sausages, with all of the taste of pork, the healthier all beef way. They're the Real McCoy. Ladies, you know it takes a deep down shampooing to get soil out of rugs. Now you can do it yourself, just like a professional, with an HR2 electric shampooer and HR2 rug shampoo. The identical formula that commercial rug cleaners use. Everything you need is at your nearest shopping bag food store. Stop in and rent your HR2 shampooer today. How do you celebrate a birthday? Shopping Bag has a fresh idea. They're giving away over 8 million blue chip stamps every week. There's a new drawing for thousands and thousands of stamps, plus sensational specials. One happy customer is going to win 1 million stamps. It could be you. Stop in and register at Shopping Bag, the fresh idea store.
Czechoslovakian leader Alexander Dubček has apparently won his battle of nerves with the Russians. Moscow radio said today Soviet officials have agreed to go to Czechoslovakia to discuss recent Czech reforms. The radio announcement came in the midst of reports that Soviet troops were leaving Czech territory by the thousands. Communist Party chief Dubček had supposedly said he would not consider meeting the Russians until all their troops are off Czech soil. No time or place has yet been set for the meeting, but Moscow sources say it could begin as early as Wednesday or Thursday. The eastern Slovak city of Kosice has been mentioned as a likely site. Dubček is the one who proposed it.
Earlier, one of Czechoslovakia's leading reformers, National Assembly Chairman Joseph Smirkovsky, published a statement calling on the Russians to respect the rights of the Czechs to manage their own affairs. That statement emphasized the Czech desire to, as Smirkovsky put it, deepen the socialist, truly human relations. Czechoslovakian liberals have been bolstered by support from several East and West European communist parties. Yugoslavia and Romania, in the East, have supported the liberalization drive from the start. And in the West, the Italian, Austrian, and French parties have backed up the Dubček policies. CBS correspondent William Cole has details on the French communist attitude in this report from Paris. We'll try to bring you that report just a little later.
The controversy surrounding political change in Czechoslovakia has turned into one of the most serious problems the Russians have faced since the Hungarian uprising in 1956. The crisis began bubbling last January when liberals took control of the Czech Communist Party and put Dubček into power. Since then, Moscow has been trying to make sure that the Czechs do not seriously weaken so-called communist unity in Eastern Europe and thereby scuttle the Warsaw Defense Pact.
I'll look at more news in just a moment. You know, even when it comes to birthdays, Shopping Bag comes up with a fresh idea. This month's Shopping Bag is having the birthday, but you're getting the presents. And what presents? Over 8 million blue chip stamps, including a grand prize of 1 million stamps. Get your share. Stop in today to register at your fresh idea store, Shopping Bag. Here's a first of the week special from Shopping Bag, USDA Grade A Stewing Chickens. Large, plump, and delicious. Only 25 cents a pound, and you can pick up your free chicken salad recipes at the meat department, too.
It's early Tuesday morning now in Vietnam, and in the hours just after midnight, a heavy enemy attack is apparently underway against a U.S. Marine installation at Marble Mountain, 5 miles south of the Da Nang Air Base. The installation was rocked by explosions. A heavy volume of small arms fire could be heard in the area. Flames have lighted the sky over the installation, which includes a major Marine helicopter base and Army aviation facilities. No details available immediately, but it's believed the base is under enemy rocket or mortar attack.
As we indicated a moment ago, Czechoslovakian liberals are being given support by East and West German, rather West European, communist parties. CBS correspondent William Cole has the details on the French communist attitude in this report from Paris.
France's Communist Party has come out strongly against the general meeting of European communists as a way of settling the conflict between Czechoslovakia and Russia. The meeting, communist sources here say, is a Russian project designed for the purpose of lining up a solid block of opposition to Czechoslovakia's new liberal line. French communists have notified 14 other of its brother parties over Europe of its ideas on the matter. And this is virtually the first time that the French party has taken any other line than that of Moscow. It is seen here as a major liberalization itself of the formerly strongly Stalinist French communist movement. In Moscow last week, French communist chief Valdec Rocher is reported to have told Russian leaders that any use of armed force against the Czechs would spell the end of communist hopes in Western Europe. William Cole, CBS News, Paris.
The methodical work of uncovering and seizing important communist supply caches in the Saigon area has led also to the study of some unorthodox but effective transport methods used by the jungle fighters. CBS correspondent Don Webster reports.
The other day, one of the big weapons caches uncovered by U.S. soldiers in South Vietnam included 75 bicycles, again pointing to the fact that as far as the Viet Cong are concerned, the bicycle is a major form of wartime transportation. Actually, very few of the bicycles are actually ridden. It's impossible to ride them on most of the trails through the jungle. What the Viet Cong do is to push them. The 75 found the other day were specially rigged to carry weapons. The VC practice is to load them heavily and then walk along the trails pushing them. This may not seem the easiest way in the world to move cargo, but on narrow jungle paths, it's better than carrying weapons on your back. In recent months, the weapons the enemy have been using are getting bigger and bigger, and hence heavier. For example, every shell for the 122-millimeter rocket weighs more than 100 pounds. With the South Vietnamese attempting to block and search the major roads of South Vietnam, it's becoming more difficult for the communists to use trucks or cars to move cargo, even when they try to hide it. So the countless jungle trails are still a major avenue, and combat bicycles a major vehicle. Don Webster, CBS News, Saigon.
The Defense Department has just announced that the September draft call will be the lowest since April of last year. 12,200 men will be drafted in September.
South Vietnam's President Van Thieu said today he and President Johnson agreed in their Honolulu conference to, quote, take the initiative in fighting in Vietnam while the preliminary peace talks are proceeding in Paris. Thieu said, the president and I agreed that we would not allow the communists to take advantage of their policy of fighting while negotiating. He told a Saigon news conference that the Honolulu discussion did not take up a cessation of all bombing of North Vietnam and did not go into the question of a coalition government, including the communist Viet Cong, for South Vietnam. He added, there can be no question of cessation of bombing unless North Vietnam reciprocates.
More on that summit meeting after these messages.
How does home savings compare to others? Well, this is Harry Von Zell, and let me give you a few hints. Home's assets, over $2.5 billion, are hundreds of millions above those of any other association. Actual dollar reserves are the greatest in the industry by far. Since 1889, Home has served savers with perfect safety. Your money always available when needed. And as you know, America's largest pays the highest interest in the nation on insured savings, at least a fourth more than any bank pays on the same type of accounts. In the last year alone, to June 30th, Home paid savers over $117 million in interest. Compare, and I think you'll want to move to Home Savings. Old, dependable.
Many prudent investors send savings thousands of miles for the safety and the high interest of America's largest. For you, there's a home savings office near wherever you live, work, or shop. See your phone book for the address nearest you.
Night horse racing starts Tuesday at beautiful Los Alamitos. First race, 7:45, daily double. Have the night time of your life.
That's tomorrow night.
Changing, changing, things are changing. Changing, changing, things are changing.
It used to be that smoking a reduced tar cigarette made you feel alone in the world. Not today. Things are changing. Today there's True. You're not alone anymore. You're not alone because today smokers everywhere are changing to True filter cigarettes. 12.8 milligrams tar, 0.7 milligrams nicotine, and it tastes like a cigarette.
Changing, changing, things are changing, changing, changing.
With or without menthol, shouldn't your brand be True?
North Vietnamese blasts at the Allied Summit Conference in Honolulu were issued both in Hanoi and Paris today. They were not very closely coordinated. In Hanoi, the Communist Party's newspaper, Nam Dan, said the meeting between President Johnson and President Yu was a tedious one that failed to produce any novelty. The Paris blast was issued by Nguyen Phan Ly, spokesman for the Saigon delegation to the peace talks. He said the Honolulu meeting proves the United States intends to pursue its war of aggression. He added, it is clear that the United States still refuses to stop its bombing and all other acts of war, and that it refuses to withdraw its troops from South Vietnam. In reply to a question, Lee declined to say that the Honolulu conference would make the work of the peace conferees more difficult.
Cambodian terms for the release of 12 American soldiers captured when their river barge wandered into Cambodian waters of the Mekong Delta were learned today. Prince Norodom Sihanouk is demanding 12 bulldozers in return for the 12 soldiers. He made the demand in a speech July 18th, the day after the seizure of the Americans, but the content became available only now through diplomatic channels. In that speech, the Cambodian ruler threatened to send the soldiers to jail for 6 months if he doesn't get the machinery, and said the captured barge now belongs to Cambodia.
James Earl Ray pleaded not guilty today at a heavily guarded arraignment in Memphis. CBS newsman George Herman has the story.
Well-worn doors into Judge Battle's second-floor courtroom, and Ray took a seat between his lawyers, Arthur Haynes, Senior and Junior. Ray looked pale but neat and composed, dressed in a dark suit and tie, his hair neatly combed back, his familiar dark-rimmed glasses nowhere in evidence. Judge Battle had the indictments read, and he advised lawyer Haynes that he need not make any plea at this time. But Haynes firmly replied that his client wished to plead not guilty to the charge that he did kill and murder Martin Luther King Jr. against the peace and dignity of the state of Tennessee, and also not guilty to the charge of carrying a deadly weapon. Haynes and the Attorney General agreed on a trial date of November 12th, calculated to let the jurors vote in the presidential election and still, hopefully, get home by Christmas. The whole process took a bare 12 minutes, and Ray left the courtroom with his lurching walk of a farmer and was taken back to his cell to wait out the months. George Herman, CBS News in Memphis.
In New York, Adam Clayton Powell, campaigning for the November election, told his Harlem congregation he doesn't think Ray killed Martin Luther King Jr. Powell says there was just too much evidence left around incriminating Ray. And he says he believes a conspiracy was involved, a conspiracy which links the King murder with those of the Kennedy brothers. Powell told reporters his conclusions are based on an article in Rampart's magazine, which shows what he called curious parallels between the three killings. It's 15 minutes after the hour of 12. These are the KNX headlines. Czechs win war of nerves with the Kremlin. Explosions indicate major attack on U.S. base near Da Nang. North Vietnam assails the Honolulu Summit Conference. Cambodia wants bulldozers in exchange for U.S. soldiers. James Earl Ray pleads not guilty to murdering Dr. King. Kennedy clan meets to discuss Ted Kennedy's political moves. Humphrey renews campaign with attacks on McCarthy and Wallace. And Democratic chairman Bailey seeks to break the Chicago strike deadlock.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has completed questioning of Supreme Court Justice nominee Homer Thornberry, at least for the time being. CBS Newsman Nelson Benton reports.
Judge Homer Thornberry spent slightly less than 1 hour before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning, ending for the moment committee interrogation on his appointment to the Supreme Court of the United States. Once again, Senator Sam Ervin of North Carolina did all the questioning, and the questions focused on the decision in which Thornberry participated, striking down Texas poll taxes. Judge Thornberry answered most of Ervin's questions by saying he would stand on the court's opinion as written. At one point, Ervin offered the observation, "You can't tell us anything about the future, anything about the past, which means you can't tell us anything." Judge Thornberry reiterated that his discussion of past cases or future would be improper. Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina told Thornberry that he considers that for the moment no vacancy exists on the Supreme Court, and said Thornberry may be asked to return to the committee when and if the Senate confirms the appointment of Justice Abe Fortas as Chief Justice. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A strategy meeting of the political Kennedy clan and the family's top political advisors was convened at Hyannisport, Massachusetts today. Informed sources say a top matter under discussion is Senator Edward Ted Kennedy's political future. That decision could be vital to the future of presidential candidate Vice President Hubert Humphrey. Senator Ted Kennedy has been increasingly mentioned as a possible running mate with Humphrey on the Democratic ticket. And Humphrey has said he hopes to talk with Kennedy about that possibility this week. Many observers have said Humphrey needs the Kennedy presence on his ticket very badly. Among the prominent advisors arriving for the Kennedy meeting today were former Defense Secretary Robert McNamara and former presidential aides Theodore Sorensen, Kenneth O'Donnell, and Arthur Schlesinger, Jr.
Monticello,
Monticello,
the every bed percale.
Monticello, new percale sheets so sensibly priced you want them for every bed in the house. Monticello, an invitation to move up to all cotton percales without falling on your budget.
Monticello,
Monticello,
the every bed percale.
Remember Monticello at stores that remember value.
Hi, everybody. This is Herb Alpert of the Tijuana Brass saying...
Thank you very much, Herb, and this is Clyde Wallach speaking for Music City. The color TV set you've heard about has finally arrived from Magnavox, a full-floor console color TV for the same price as black and white used to be. It's the Magnavox Radcliffe color TV floor console in walnut or maple, just $398.50. It's a full console, not a table model on legs. Here at Music City, we think TV prices probably will not go any lower, and this looks like the bottom of the price cycle to me. This beautiful Magnavox Radcliffe has a big 267-square-inch screen. Every latest advance, like the color purifier, automatic tuning, everything. They're all in Music Cities right now. By all means, take a look. No money down, Music City liberal terms, absolutely unchanged for 5 years.
Always the lowest available price on over 120 Magnavox models at Music City and the world's largest selection of LP albums. Lakewood Center, Eastland Center, West Covina, Topanga Plaza, Canoga Park, Torrance, Hawthorne Artesia, Hollywood, and South Coast Plaza, Costa Mesa.
Louisiana Governor John McKithen says third-party candidate George Wallace is the presidential favorite in at least six states now. McKithen says this is certainly enough to throw the election into the House of Representatives if the Republicans and Democrats run a close race. Wallace himself has been asked in St. Louis to outline his views on the war in Vietnam.
First, we should have a reappraisal of our position with our allies who are not helping us and impress upon them that it's as much your interest to help us as it is for us to be there, since we are there. And we are there whether you like it or not. And as long as we are there, we must do whatever is necessary to protect the safety and health of 500,000 American servicemen and those from South Vietnam and those of our allied servicemen who are there helping us. So I say that we should cut out foreign aid, ask them to pay back what they owe us if they won't help us, and not that we should kick them out, Western Europe or non-communist Asian allies either. We need them, but they need us. But we ought to have some rapport with them, as the sophisticated folks say, or some dialogue, which is really and good old Missouri and Alabama talk, from eyeball talk about, fella, you using our money, you rehabilitated your economies, you use our nuclear shield as a deterrent to communist aggression, but you turn around and trade with the communists in North Vietnam. Now, you're going to have to stop that.
Third-party candidate George Wallace. Vice President Hubert Humphrey, recovered from the flu, renewed his campaign in New York with attacks on Senator Eugene McCarthy and George C. Wallace. CBS correspondent Mike Wallace reports on that story.
Vice President Hubert Humphrey categorically rejected here today any deal with Alabama's George Wallace if the November election were to throw the presidency into the House of Representatives for decision. In a news conference at LaGuardia Airport, Mr. Humphrey declared flatly he would rather not be president than have to depend on a racist vote to get elected. The vice president, arriving here on a clear, sparkling, almost cloudless day, said of his prospects for winning the Democratic nomination on the first ballot, "My chances are as good as this day is beautiful." A Harris poll yesterday showing McCarthy leading Humphrey in a national vote was dismissed by the vice president as just a slight dip from which he will soon recover. The vice president is here to raise money and make a number of TV appearances, and he said he expected to debate Senator McCarthy just before the Democratic convention and would welcome a face-to-face debate with Richard Nixon during the presidential campaign. Martin Agronsky, CBS News, with Vice President Hubert Humphrey in New York.
Humphrey said also he's prepared for a general discussion with Senator McCarthy, but only if McCarthy will spell out his stand on the issues. He stated, "I wouldn't want a monologue. I'm the only one who's discussed urban problems, foreign trade, and education." He noted that McCarthy says he wants peace in Vietnam and added, "I'm for it. I gather the senator is for it." He hasn't said how. "We believe the Paris peace talks are the way. He has criticism. We have a program."
New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller predicts that Richard Nixon will fall 100 votes short of winning the Republican nomination on the first ballot. And Rockefeller adds that he expects to go on and win the nomination after the first ballot. Rockefeller supporter, Senator Jacob Javits of New York, has voiced another strong appeal for the governor, calling him the man of the hour.
"I see the Republican ticket as giving Nelson Rockefeller a chance to make it. And I think that it's so critically important to the country and the world that he should, that I don't want to admit, even in my own thinking, the possibility of any other result to whip the nomination of former Vice President Nixon. This is no derogation of him as a man or as a public official. It just means that the moment of history is such that Nelson Rockefeller, based on the fact that he knows how to do what must be done for the cities in respect of peace in Vietnam and the foreign policy of the nation, and in respect of the hard-headed economic and money decisions that must be made, the man of the hour, and I'm spending all my time and all my energy to try to get him nominated."
Javits said also that he would have to swallow hard, as he put it, to accept a Rockefeller-Reagan ticket.
"Well, this is, I think, quite barren speculation at the moment. Obviously, the governor would look to the Middle West, to the Far West, for a running mate, and it should be someone who has a consistent philosophy with his. I hope very much that we're not going to have a contrived Rockefeller-Reagan ticket. Now, it may come. I can't control it."
Senator Jacob Javits.
With the Republican National Convention about 2 weeks off, the front-runner for the nomination and his family are making a bid for delegate votes. Two members of that family are making every minute count, and KNX newsman Bill McMillan has the story.
The Richard Nixons are in Southern California for what the former vice president terms a visit with the home folks, with politics not the primary reason for his trip west. However, two of the hardest-working Nixon campaigners were up before dawn this morning for an appearance on the ABC television program Good Day LA. I had a chance to talk with Julie and Trish Nixon on the television soundstage, and I asked Trish if campaigning with her father was hard work.
"No, it's just something we really want to do. He's our father, but we also feel that he's an important man and that the country needs him. And if we can help in any way, however small, to help him be elected, we'll do it."
"And so far, we think that there is a lot of enthusiasm on the part of young people for my father's candidacy."
"You know, Trish, looking at you, I think I'd recognize you almost anywhere. You got that famous Nixon nose."
Yes, it is. It's my grandmother's nose, really, yeah. Not my father's."
There's more campaigning in store for the Nixon girls right up to the time of the Republican convention in Miami, and perhaps even more campaigning after that. This is Bill McMillan reporting for KNX News Radio.
We'll look at labor problems across the nation when the noon hour news continues.
Time. Probably the most important thing when it comes to brewing beer. It stands to reason, if you want to brew the best, you take more time in doing it. And we put a lot of time into brewing Busch. It takes time to let a beer carbonate itself, and Busch is the only popular price beer in America with in-brewed carbonation. It takes time to let the natural flavor of a beer come to life. You have to let it rest. And while Busch is resting, some beers are already on their way to market. But this is only part of the story. We'd like you to come down to our Los Angeles brewery and let us prove to you why Busch is the best popular priced beer in America. It'll be worth your time.
Visit the Anheuser-Busch Brewery in Los Angeles and see for yourself why Busch is the best popular priced beer in America.
Could you use a second income, an extra income to help you really start living? A guaranteed second income you can start to earn now on your regular job? No, this isn't a plan for the rich alone. It's a plan for people, everyday people. People who can set aside as little as $5 a week. Secretaries, grocery checkers, housewives, clerks, even pizza makers. Anybody, everybody, you. Only Southern California Savings and Loan Association has this new plan that protects your savings and gives you the earning power and comfortable security of a guaranteed second income that can go on and on for as long as you live. Why just hope? Start owning your second income today. Phone or visit your nearest Southern California Savings office for information about your second income plan. Headquarter offices in Montebello, Pacific Palisades, Beverly Hills. Main office at 431 West 5th Street in downtown Los Angeles.
And in Beverly Hills, headquarters for the new second income plan is the Southern California Savings office located at 9250 Wilshire Boulevard.
Democratic National Chairman John Bailey was flying into Chicago this morning to seek a break in the strike deadlock that threatens to drive the party's national convention away from the city. Bailey seeks to meet with spokesmen from the Illinois Bell Telephone Company and the striking electrical workers. The latest developments in that strike are reported by KNX correspondent Larry Bernardos.
There has been some movement in connection with the strike by electrical workers that threatens to force the Democratic National Convention out of Chicago. Robert Nicky, chief negotiator for the IBEW, outlined a new union proposal.
The officers of System Council T4 will agree to submit the company's last offer to the members for their vote, provided that if the company or if the offer of the company is rejected, the company then will agree to final and binding arbitration. If, on the other hand, the offer is accepted, the strike will end with that acceptance and a proper back-to-work agreement mutually agreed to. In case of a rejection of the offer, arbitration will begin immediately and the strikers will return to work.
The strike, which began May 8th, has delayed installation of communications equipment needed for the convention. This is Lane Bernardo's in Chicago.
Negotiators for the United Steelworkers Union and the basic steel industries felt the increased urgency of a July 31st contract deadline today. This is the eve of the first rank-and-file strike vote in the union's history. The Steelworkers Union is counting on a big strike vote to put pressure on the industry for a contract settlement. The union is reportedly seeking an increase in wages and fringe benefits up to $1 per man hour. On the other hand, the companies claim a labor cost increase would consume about two-thirds of the 1967 profits.
A presidential panel is calling on both labor and business to use utmost restraints when it comes to wage and price increases. The Cabinet Committee on Price Stability says a wage price upsurge could offset benefits from the new tax increase and federal spending cuts. A ranking government official said the committee is neither forecasting nor threatening a recession, but rather wants to cut as short as possible the economic slowdown. That slowdown expected from the tax hike and spending cuts.
The nation's two largest unions, the Teamsters and the United Auto Workers, today announced plans for a working alliance in political activity and unionization of new groups of workers. The unions have a combined membership of about 3.5 million, and officials said the two unions would work together in organizing teachers, government employees, and farm workers in social action programs.
This is the Noon Hour News. Russ Powell and Lloyd Perrin for vacationing Bob Arthur. We'll look at more news in just a moment. This is KNX 1070 News Radio, Los Angeles.
When it began, just a rickety shed with the side of a dusty road. In 1920, in a Model T, along came a family known as Knott, and they started a berry farm. In 1934, Cordelia Knott started serving her famous chicken dinners, and people asked her to pack up her French and Thousand Island dressing just so they could take some home. And what began as a berry farm soon became the place where just about everything good was being preserved. Like a ghost town with an old saloon and a railroad train that's 90 years old and a real gold mine where you can pan for gold. Today the dusty roads and the Model T's are all but gone, but Cordelia's salad dressings and her barbecue sauces are still there at Knott's Berry Farm. And they're even at your grocery store.
Here's a carpeting value so tremendous that Carpet Town proudly broadcasts this special to bring it to your attention. The carpeting is Codel Grandee, a velvet-like and exquisitely sculptured broad loom of soft, resilient Codel polyester pile, the newest carpeting yarn from Eastman Kodak. The price at Carpet Town, only $8.99 per square yard, completely installed with padding. It's a deep, sumptuous carpeting that cleans so easily and shrugs off the impressions of extra wear. Codel Grandee comes in 14 rich or subtle shades created to complement your decor perfectly at only $8.99 per square yard, completely installed at Carpet Town, the West's largest group of carpeting stores. 25 stores serving Southern California. See Codel Grandee at your nearest Carpet Town store or call to see samples in your own home. Open evenings till 9, Saturdays till 6, Sundays 10 to 5. Carpet Town stores located in Granada Hills, Glendale, Downey, Culver City, Westminster, and 20 other Southern California communities. Check your phone book or call 466-7175 for your nearest Carpet Town store.
Our Associated Press studio teletype is reporting this development in Sacramento. Assembly Democrats at this moment have moved to drop a proposed tough gun control law and submit the issue to an advisory vote by Californians in November. Plan to send the gun bill to the Assembly Elections and Reapportionment Committee fell short of the required 41 votes on the first roll call. The White House says that in response to a survey initiated by President Johnson, only one state governor expressed outright opposition to stronger gun control laws. A reply by Georgia Governor Lester Maddox was unfavorable, and the governors of Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, and North Dakota have not replied. After the shooting of Senator Kennedy, Mr. Johnson wrote each of the 50 governors, requesting they undertake studies designed to produce so-called safe gun control laws. 40 of the 45 replies are classed as favorable, and 4 are classed as non-committal. Another survey, this one taken informally among American combat troops, shows a strong sentiment for moderate to strong gun control laws in the United States. But at the same time, most of the GIs interviewed on Saigon's outer defense perimeter said they thought anything short of confiscation would do little to cut down on gun deaths.
Meanwhile, the House turned today to a proposed ban on mail-order sales of rifles, shotguns, and ammunition. Amendments for licensing of gun owners also are up for action before a final vote by the House on gun controls. That vote could come later today. Last Friday, representatives killed by 2-1 votes two gun registration amendments. Postmaster General Marvin Watson has outlined severe cutbacks in postal services, which he says will be required by a forced reduction in personnel. Watson told the Senate Post Office Committee today that residential mail service on Saturdays will be halted this fall, and home deliveries will be further cut back to 4 days a week sometime in the future. Watson said elimination of Saturday home service will take effect in October and November. In addition, the Postmaster General said the post office is closing 500 third and fourth class post offices this month and in August. Watson told the Senate committee his department cannot maintain present levels of service with a cutback in personnel.
How can we deliver 8.4 billion pieces of mail at current service levels with no additional employees? The answer is, we cannot. Something will have to give. That something is service. We can reduce service in one of two ways. We can place an embargo on certain types of mail. Newspapers, books, magazines, advertising circulars, phonograph records, parcels, second, third, and fourth class mail. Or we can reduce the kind of service provided to all mailers. Mr. Chairman and distinguished members of this committee, either choice is distasteful, and if I might say so, disgraceful, in a country that prides itself on an $850 billion economy and the highest standard of living in the world. But under the law, I have no choice but to take some action.
Postmaster General Marvin Watson.
Civil rights leaders say a little notice provision passed by the House would cripple the federal government's Southern school desegregation program. That provision is sponsored by Democratic Representatives Jamie Whitten of Mississippi. It would prohibit use of federal funds to compel busing of students, to force abolishment of any school, or to force students to attend any school against the choice of their parents. The provision also says the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare cannot use its funds for such actions or to force any such actions as a prerequisite for receipt of federal aid by school districts. Currently, the threat of cutting off federal money has been the department's main tool for bringing about racial integration of Southern schools. The bill was passed by the House last month and is now before a Senate subcommittee, and according to a subcommittee spokesman, the bill appears to have a good chance of passing the Senate.
The Justice Department has filed the first lawsuit under the new Federal Open Housing Act. The suit, filed in a New Orleans U.S. District Court, charges the builders and sellers of free Baton Rouge housing developments with discriminating against Negroes. The defendants include six Baton Rouge business firms and some of their top officials. The government charges them with selling houses and subdivisions only to white persons.
Mama had many servants, but she still insisted on making her own tortillas. She would take out her metate to grind the corn into masa, then shape it into a ball, and pat it until it was big and paper thin, ready for the soapstone griddle. And then the filling, chopped beef with onion, and cilantro, and spices. Heaven must smell like that. Then Mama would cover the tortillas with her own enchilada sauce, a sprinkling of cheese, and, what enchiladas. Today, my lovely American wife has no time for that kind of cooking. Almost nobody does. Except Rosarita. And for me, Rosarita's frozen enchilada dinners come closest to Mama's. Rosarita, like Mamacita used to make.
Order in the court!
Not on the hood, Your Honor. Bang the bumper of the Pontiac GTO. Can't hurt it.
Oh. Hey, that's pretty clever. Now then, who says these Pontiac dealers are being unfair to all of the other dealers?
I'm speaking for them, Your Honor.
So, speak.
My clients are the other dealers, the ones who used to be called the low-priced three.
That's a laugh.
Your Honor. Well, anyway, how can my clients compete against a prestige name like Pontiac when these dealers have cut their prices so low during their official summer sale that we don't even have price as a competitive edge anymore?
They've got Pontiac prices down real low, hey?
Yes, and those 36 authorized Los Angeles, Orange County Pontiac dealers are offering great deals during their official summer sale.
Well, that settles it. Case dismissed. I don't know about the jury, but I'm going to my nearest L.A. Orange County dealer right now and judge for myself.
Oh, my.
All is reported quiet in Akron, Ohio, after a fifth straight night of scattered violence. At least 9 firebombings were reported in Akron last night as a beefed-up National Guard force stood by to keep the peace. Calm has also been restored in 2 Michigan towns troubled by roaming youths who threw rocks, bottles, and firebombs. Police in Benton Harbor, Michigan, used the chemical mace to quell rock and bottle-throwing youths who were apparently angry because of a tavern's refusal to serve 18-year-olds. The homes of Benton Harbor's mayor and a woman judge in that city were the targets of firebombers. In Jackson, Michigan, police arrested 7 persons after several rock and bottle-tossing incidents. In New York, a rock and bottle-throwing attack on a patrol car at Coney Island prompted a second night of battling between police and young residents. At least 5 policemen were reported hurt, none seriously, and 8 were arrested.
The world's 26th heart transplant patient is sitting up and taking liquids today in a Houston hospital. 58-year-old Fred Everman, an Arlington, Virginia barber, is reported in very satisfactory condition on this, his third day with a new heart. Everman received the heart from a Houston housewife who died of complications from a kidney disease Saturday. A spokesman at St. Luke's Hospital in Houston called the transplant strictly routine.
Actress Elizabeth Taylor has had a serious operation, termed serious by her doctors and called just this side of a hysterectomy. As a result, she won't be able to have any more children. The operation took more than 3 hours at the Fitzroy Newfield Nursing Home in London. A spokesman said Miss Taylor's condition is completely satisfactory. Her husband, Richard Burton, was at the clinic during the operation. Miss Taylor has had 3 children by previous marriages.
Funeral services for Ruth St. Denis, a pioneer of modern dancing, will be held Wednesday at Forest Lawn in the Hollywood Hills. She was 88 years old when she died yesterday of heart failure. Miss St. Denis had been termed the first lady of the American dance and counted Martha Graham, Charles Wiedman, and Doris Humphrey among her students.
A large downtown Los Angeles fire. We'll have that story with a live report right after this message.
I'm serious. I'm going.
Well, you can't run away from home on an empty stomach.
I'm not hungry.
Well, let me fix a sandwich. You could take it with you.
Well, maybe I'll take some more Skinner's potato chips.
Well, we're all out. But I'm going to the market tomorrow. Can't you wait till then to run away?
No. I want to leave now.
Well, goodbye.
Well, aren't you going to drive me?
Night horse racing starts Tuesday at beautiful Los Alamitos. First race, 7:45, daily double. Have the nighttime of your life.
That's tomorrow night.
A major fire in downtown Los Angeles this noon hour. KNX newsman John Goodman is on the scene with a live report. John?
A greater alarm fire in the industrial residential district of East Los Angeles has completely destroyed a storage warehouse of the United Container and Display Company, which fabricates cardboard container products at 1133 East 32nd Street. Assistant Battalion Chief Pat Ferguson told KNX News 11 units consisting of 7 engines, 4 trucks, responded to the 1136 a.m. alarm, which continues to burn at this time, and has threatened nearby buildings. Chief Ferguson estimates $135,000 damage to the structure and contents believed unoccupied at the time. A neighborhood resident told KNX News he saw 2 children set the blaze. The fire department is investigating. From the scene in Mobile Unit 1, John Goodman, KNX News Radio.
In trouble spots around the world, the government in Bolivia declared a nationwide state of siege today because of bloody disorders after a cabinet minister fled the country last week. The Bolivian army had accused Antonio Arguedas, former interior minister, and President Barrientos of arranging to have Che Guevara's diary handed over to the Cubans. Arguedas left Bolivia just before the accusation became public. The Indonesian government has ordered 4 more battalions into the troubled New Guinea province of West Irian. The troops moved in to help put down widespread unrest and rebel activity. And the Greek military regime today said its new constitution will go into effect in stages after the September 23rd referendum. The Greek people are expected to approve that constitution when a vote is taken.
Help is on the way for the starving refugees inside Biafra. KNX newsman Larry Atterbury reports.
Well, apparently we're having a little difficulty with that particular news tape. We'll go on with the news. From Beirut, Lebanon, reports indicate that the fragile Arab unity forged after the Six-Day War with Israel is crumbling today because of the recent coup in Iraq. Pro-Egyptian and other left-wing Arab newspapers have written vicious attacks against the new leaders who seized power in a bloodless takeover in Baghdad last Wednesday. The new regime apparently is a bit too conservative for the pro-Nasser forces in the Arab world.
A far-reaching proposal by a prominent Russian nuclear scientist was reported today by the New York Times. The scientist, 47-year-old Andrei Sakharov, urges widespread collaboration by the United States and the Soviet Union by the year 2000. Sakharov, a member of Soviet Academy of Sciences, has been circulating the plan among Russian acquaintances, reportedly without official sanction. He warns that convergence of the two top powers is the only way to avert such dangers as thermonuclear war, overpopulation, famine in the poverty areas of the world, chemical pollution, and police dictatorships of the Hitler, Stalin, and Mao Zedong varieties. He asserts the rapprochement of the socialist and capitalist systems is inevitable.
Like to save money, Billy boy? Well, my friend Colonel Sanders is celebrating his big 99-cent sale, and that means it's time again for you to save money on the best fried chicken you ever licked a finger at, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, here's what you get for 99 cents. A regular box of the Colonel's good Kentucky Fried Chicken, plus whipped potatoes and the Colonel's country gravy, a big helping of tangy coleslaw, a hot roll and honey, plus a fork and a napkin, so you can eat right in your car or under a tree if you like. So come on in now and get a regular Kentucky Fried Chicken dinner for just 99 cents. It's a finger-licking good bargain. Why don't you take advantage of Colonel Sanders and buy a whole armload where the big bucket goes round in the sky and the Colonel's face smiles down on you.
99-cent sale on right now.
It's that time of the year. Official Ford clearance is here.
The 1968 official Ford clearance is that everything goes time of the year. Every Ford dealer is moving out every new Ford car and truck in his showroom at closeout prices. So if you're a smart buyer, you won't wait to make a deal on one of the better idea cars from Ford. The official Ford clearance is the one time of the year when every Ford has got to go. Go see your Ford dealer now. He has a new Ford car or truck waiting for you at an everything goes clearance time price.
Everything goes, everything goes.
Now, KNX newsman Larry Atterbury tells that story about Biafra.
Supplies of food are being sent to the starving refugees of Biafra. Father Raymond Kennedy of the Hollywood St. Patrick's Church, a man who spent more than 13 years on the western coast of Africa, told me what is being done.
So far, 34 flights have been sent in by a group called Caritas Internationalis. It's the coordinating body of Catholic charities the world over. Its headquarters is at Rome. In addition, the Church World Service has sent in 8 plane loads, and the International Red Cross about 15 plane loads.
Will this meet the needs of the Biafrans?
No. It's working out that this meets about one-fifth of their needs of protein food. They would need 200 tons per day, and of recent times, about 40 tons has been flown in each night.
How soon will they get this food?
From the time of departure from Fernando Po or Sao Tome, they will get it in a matter of hours to the airport and a matter of about 2 days to the actual starving people.
Father Raymond Kennedy. At the same time, word from inside Biafra says a leading missionary has told refugees to eat rats, cats, dogs, or certain insects in order to save themselves until food arrives. A peace conference between the central Nigerian government and breakaway Biafra has been scheduled, but the date remains uncertain. This is Larry Atterbury, KNX News Radio.
The people who save at Huntington Savings and Loan Association are just like you. Most of them are looking for family security and financial protection. Some have other projects such as college educations or vacations. Many have only a few $100s tucked away, which isn't a lot of money. Yet they have found that even a small amount of reserve capital gives them peace of mind. They also count on Huntington's high rate of interest on federally insured savings, which is compounded daily and paid 4 times a year to make their funds grow faster. Most of all, Huntington Savings' 40-year record of sound growth and management is their best assurance that, as always, their funds are secure. So why not come to Huntington soon and start your peace of mind savings account? There are 6 offices to serve you: Southgate, Belle Maywood, Studio City, Wilshire Center, Costa Mesa. Main office, Huntington Park.
And now here with all the sports news, Jim Racer.
Thank you, Russ, and good afternoon.
The Fullerton stalemate, destined to become as celebrated as the legendary Drysdale-Koufax holdout, is still in force, and neither side seems willing at this time to bend over any further than they have. Jack Snow has been offered a raise by the Rams. He's turned it down. Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones have been asked to honor their current contracts. They both refuse, and adamantly, we might add. Where will all this end? We don't know, but we would assume the Rams are in danger of blowing their chances to repeat as even Coastal Division champions if this becomes a prolonged affair. Right now, the question is, how much do any of these players need pro football, not how much pro football needs them? There's no question to what the Dodgers need. About 15 straight wins is the simple fact, but that's not going to happen this year either, even if Mike Kekich gets things started tonight at the stadium when he takes on Houston's Dave Justy. The Dodgers are currently suffering because they spent the past 5 years developing the best pitching stable in baseball, but neglected things like hitters. They're aware of the error of their ways, and something will be done about it, but like avocados, it takes a while for such nuggets to ripen. The Angels, meanwhile, with talk of manager Bill Rigney departing, subsided for the moment, are in the Twin Cities for a game against Minnesota this evening. Tom Murphy faces Jimmy Rowland. More sports after this timeout for AMCO.
Now, another AMCO True Life Transmission Drama.
Darling, the wedding was beautiful.
Yeah, we're finally alone. As soon as I get rid of these tin cans, I'll stop just past this light. Hey, the car won't move.
What?
Must be the transmission.
Oh, no.
What will they do? Probably call AMCO. Every week, more than 10,000 drivers do. Every minute and a half, someone calls AMCO. You get free road check, fast, efficient service. And with AMCO, your transmission is protected wherever you drive.
Sure wish I'd checked the transmission before, but AMCO got us going.
Don't get stuck. Get a free checkup from AMCO. Every minute and a half, someone proves you can trust your transmission to AMCO. AAMCO.
In North Long Beach, you'll find AMCO at 5344 Cherry Avenue. In North Hollywood, Studio City at 4701 Lancashire Boulevard. Also, 38 other AMCO locations around Southern California. Hollywood Park. The Park of the Lakes and the Flowers rings down the curtain on its 1968 season this afternoon with the 27th running of the $119,000 Sunset Handicap, with a filly winner entirely possible for the first time in the history of the race. Gold Cup winner Princess Nijans carries top weight of 124, and this distaff mount could turn the trick. When the last thoroughbred crosses the finish line in today's final race, all eyes turn southward to Los Alamitos, where Southern California welcomes its first night racing season in history tomorrow evening when the quarter horses begin to run. Playing members of the PGA are hopping mad over their own tournament, which Julie Burrows won yesterday. They're also upset over their tour in general, and they will almost certainly break up the old gang and form an independent corporation outside the PGA umbrella as early as this fall. Lawyers of both sides are currently exchanging ideas, but it looks hopeless. Once again, the Noon Hour News and Russ Powell.
Jim Racer, and you can hear his sports reports tomorrow morning on AM Newsday. Be sure to get Swift's premium bacon in the convenient new Zip Tray package. Open it with a zip of the handy pull tab and slide out a tray full of the bacon that has everything. Sweet, smoke taste, the good housekeeping consumer's guarantee, and the two most trusted words in meat, Swift's premium. Ever dream about how you'd spend a million blue chip stamps? Then stop dreaming and start listening, because it could happen to you. Right now, during its big month-long birthday celebration, Shopping Bag is in the middle of giving away over 8 million blue chip stamps. Every week, 2,000 customers will win 1,000 stamps each. And one winner will wind up with 1 million stamps just for filling out an entry blank. Today, stop by Shopping Bag and register for this week's drawing. You don't need to buy a thing to win. That's at Shopping Bag, the store that even has a fresh idea on how to celebrate a birthday. A giant tent show filled to capacity for a festival music program in Milwaukee collapsed in a windstorm Sunday night, scattering a crowd of 2,500 persons, injuring about 40, none seriously. In Chicago, investigating teams continue work today to find the cause of an explosion which demolished a block-long building in Chicago's downtown section. Officials suspect the blast was caused by gas. During a demonstration of Civil War cannons in Somerset, Michigan, a bit of flaming cloth dropped into an open keg of gunpowder, which exploded. 40 persons were treated for burns. 5 others were critically hurt. They were taken to the University of Michigan Burn Center.
Laboratory tests are underway to pinpoint the specific cause of the deaths of 2 babies found in their cribs this morning. KNX reporter Barbara Regal reports.
Detectives at Wilshire Division say 4-month-old Hillary and her twin brother Morgan were both found dead early this morning in separate bassinets at the family home on South Orange Drive and apparently dead of natural causes. Detective Lieutenant Ward said the twins were last reported alive at 6:35 this morning. The maternal grandmother said the boys and girl were fine at that time before she went to work. The father, Eric Brown, was also at work, and the babies were found by their mother, Paula, and pronounced dead at 9 o'clock by the county coroner's office. Police have sent the contents of the babies' bottles and some of their food to the laboratory for testing and are also making a thorough search of the house and checking medical records for recent vaccinations or shots. But as of now, their opinion is the 2 babies died of natural causes. This is Barbara Regal reporting from the Wilshire Division, Los Angeles Police Department.
The state legislature in Sacramento is discussing the possibility of adjourning the session during the 2 national political conventions and resuming when they're over. Officials say the work before them cannot be completed before August 2nd, when the Democratic convention is scheduled to start. A homemade firebomb exploded this morning on the porch of a Willowbrook school board member. Lewis Roach told police damage was confined to the porch and his front door, and a small fire caused by the blast was quickly put out. Roach has recently been involved in several controversial decisions at the school board, and this is believed to be the motive for the bombing. 27-year-old Marie Clark was shot and killed early today as she stepped from a car only 1 block from her home on West 106th Street. Police say she was hit by 6 .22-caliber bullets. No motive has been discovered. And a pair of twin infants died today while sleeping in separate bassinets at their grandmother's home in the Wilshire section of Los Angeles. Police detectives reported a coroner's autopsy will be performed to determine the cause of death of the 4-month-old brother and sister, children of Mr. and Mrs. Eric Brown.
How do you celebrate a birthday? Shopping Bag has a fresh idea. They're giving away over 8 million blue chip stamps. Every week there's a new drawing for thousands and thousands of stamps plus sensational specials. One happy customer is going to win 1 million stamps. It could be you. Stop in and register at Shopping Bag, the fresh idea store. As the first of the week special, Shopping Bag is featuring Sunsweet Prune Juice, the quart bottle for only 39 cents. A helpful way to start the day from Shopping Bag. Los Angeles and vicinity continues to enjoy fair skies and warm weather, with the downtown high expected to reach 87 degrees. Beach areas to turn sunny this afternoon. Highs around 72 with the water at 65. Mountains sunny with highs at 83 at most resort levels. The deserts are mostly sunny. Highs in the upper valleys to 105. Lower valleys 114. Smog is light to moderate in the central and inland portions of the basin.
This has been the Noon Hour News.
KNX now presents an editorial by Mr. George Nikolaw, Vice President of CBS Radio and General Manager of KNX. Mr. Nikolaw.
It is against the law to play the numbers game in this city, unless you are a city councilman. A few months ago, Mayor Yorty submitted the highest budget in the history of Los Angeles to the city council. Those 15 statesmen of Spring Street responded dramatically and forcefully. First, they spilled a few million words about economy and government and how we must cut down. Next, they added some millions to the mayor's budget and passed it without the slightest effort to cut or economize. Finally, they cast about for more ways to sock you with higher taxes. They decided on raising the city sales tax from 1% to 2%. At first blush, that might not sound like a big deal. It sounds like we're only talking about a 1% raise. But if you think for a moment, you will realize that going from 1% to 2% is double or a raise of 100%. This makes the sales tax in Los Angeles the highest of any city in California. These high taxes are needed because many of the 15 councilmen refuse to cut expenses. All they know how to do is to spend, spend, and spend. KNX believes it is time they learned how to save, cut, and economize.
This has been an editorial presented by Mr. George Nikolov, Vice President of CBS Radio and General Manager of KNX. The views expressed are those of the station's management. Qualified representatives of opposing viewpoints are offered an opportunity to reply over this station. KNX editorials are broadcast every day, mornings at 8:20, afternoons at 12:55, and evenings at 6:25 and 10:15.
The New York stock market closed with a severe loss today and moderately active trading. There was little in the way of stimulating news to spur prices. The New York Stock Exchange Index at 3 p.m. was 55.89, down 0.65. That's a decrease of 59 cents. The KNX News headlines at 1 o'clock. James Earl Ray has pleaded innocent to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King at his arraignment in Memphis. Two aerospace unions have voted to strike the McDonnell Douglas Company if a settlement is not reached in a week. A Los Angeles sailor, Peggy Slater, has been spotted by a Coast Guard plane about 400 miles south of Hawaii. She radioed that she was lost last Friday. The Russians have accepted a Czech suggestion to meet in the near future, and the Defense Department has issued a draft call for 12,200 men. This is Russ Powell. I'll be reporting throughout your afternoon news day, along with Denny Bracklin, as KNX 1070 News Radio in Los Angeles continues with CBS News in New York.